Lord, we do thank you. We thank you for today. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for those opportunities to share your love and the gospel of Jesus Christ with others, Lord, and the effect that it has on people. We see it's a supernatural word, Lord. It's able to change lives. It penetrates the deepest part of man. And it speaks to us, Lord. We're never the same when we hear the gospel. So we thank you, and Lord, tonight as we go through your word, we pray that you would speak to us, that you would maybe show us those things in our hearts that need changing, that you desire to change from away, Lord. Maybe, Lord, there's areas that you've been speaking to us, and that, Lord, that we've been putting off, and that we know better. That we know we need to surrender it to you. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you for those divine no's in our lives. Lord, for your better plan. So we just lift up this time to you. And we just praise your name. Amen. Good evening, church. All right, look at that. I don't know if we're on camera, but I was going to just mentioned that the seats have been moved, and I do notice that there's a difference. The comfortable chairs on front, more people on front. Wow, that's great. If you have your Bibles, open up with me to 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. As you're getting there, you're opening up, you know, I asked a question to you, and as I was doing my study, I asked a question to myself: how do I react when God says no? When God says, when you want to do, it's nothing bad, it's something good, and you want to do something for the Lord. Maybe it's a ministry you want to start. Maybe it's something that it's like it's on your heart, and you're like, how could this not be in God's will? It's biblical. I want to do this. This is Lord. I'm like, open up the doors, and the Lord says, no. How do I react to that? Do I get bitter? Did I get angry? Do I say, just, you know what? Well, fine then. I'm just not going to do anything. He said no to this. I'm just not going to do anything. And we're like that little kid, right, that we're told about when he gets in trouble and he's told to stand in the corner. And the little boy finally does it. He says, fine, I'm going to stand up, but in my heart, I'm sitting down. You know, it's like you have that attitude. Anyway, today we're in chapter 7, and it's a familiar portion of Scripture, awesome portion like always. And it's about David wanting to build God a house. It's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. So let's just get into God's word, and we'll do a quick review and go from there. Take a look at the first three verses with me. 2 Samuel chapter 7 says, now it came to pass when the king was dwelling in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies all around. Notice that. David had gone to war, and now God had given him rest. That the king said to Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside tent curtains. Now Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. So what we see here is there's a change of scenes, right? Last week, we went over the fact that the ark, David brought the ark back to Jerusalem. And we saw that there was issues that David wanted to do things his way. You know, he's like, hey man, I'm going to get a 4x4, a nice truck. I'm going to put the ark on this truck. It's going to be nice and smooth. It's logical sense. It'll be quick. It's awesome. And it didn't turn out well. It ended with one of the men dying trying to hold that ark up there. they hit a little speed bump and try to hold it, and he died. And it says that David was angry. You know, it's interesting. It said David was angry. He's like, "Why, Lord, why would you strike this man? We're just trying to get the ark back." And then he did the right thing. He took the ark to one of the Levites that was actually their ministry, that lineage, they were the ones who were supposed to move the ark. And for 3 months, he didn't do anything. He was preparing a place for the ark in 3 months, but he came to terms. He realized that he was wrong. And as we read Chronicles, we cross-referenced with Chronicles, that David said, "Hey, listen, this happened because you guys didn't move the ark, because we made this error. You guys should have been the ones to move the ark over, and we didn't do it that way." David did it his way. He says, I tried it my way. Let's do it God's way." They bring it. They get it to Jerusalem, and David is, man, rejoicing, and it's great to get it there. You guys know. You guys remember. We went over it last week. His wife wasn't too happy, but David was rejoicing. And we end it right there. We end it with that sad portion that says that Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. You know, she was spiritually barren. And it just, her spiritual condition just materialized into a physical condition that she would be barren for the rest of her life. And now the scene switches here. We go into this portion of Scripture that it says that it came to pass when King David was dwelling in his house, and that the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies all around, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See, now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside tent curtains." And you see, David now had this home built with cedar, nice home. He's no longer running from Saul. You know, he's been king over Judah now. He has the capital, Jerusalem. He's taken over. He's given victories. Man, everything's good. David is wealthy. He's reaping the benefits. God has given him peace. And then all of a sudden it strikes him. He says, "Man, God has blessed me. Man, I'm no longer out there, you know, running from this, being out in the woods and being chased. And God took me from being a shepherd, and here I am with all this. God has blessed me." And where is God's tent at? Where is his throne? It's in a tent. And he says, "That's just not right. We got to build God a house. I got a house. I'm going to build him a big house. I'm going to make something incredible for God. I want to do this good thing for God." And what does he do? He consults Nathan. And you know, in those times, the kings, they would have prophets, right? The prophets, that was really one of the ministries of the prophets. Is you always notice that they minister to kings. They tell them the truth of God, and they provide counsel for them. And here's this man, Nathan, a man of God. And David said, "Hey, this is the situation." And Nathan, man, he says, "That sounds great, David. Sounds good. Go do all that is in your heart." And notice what he says. He says, "For the Lord is with you." Did we read anywhere that Nathan consulted God? Nowhere, right? Now, here's the thing is that as a prophet of God, he spoke for God. And he said, "The Lord is with you on this, David." He said, "He is with you." The problem is that he spoke with prophetic authority without receiving prophetic revelation. It was a good thing. There was nothing wrong with it. It's a good ministry. It's a work for God. He wanted to do something right. And even Nathan says, "Man, go ahead." And the reality is that he got ahead of himself. He didn't consult with God. And it was good general counsel, but it wasn't what God wanted. God didn't want that. And isn't that the case that sometimes we speak out of turn and we get ahead of ourselves? I don't know about you guys, but I do. I mean, I'm sure you guys don't do that. But I do, you know. And sometimes we do. We get ahead of ourselves. And, you know, I try, and I don't do it perfectly, but when I provide counsel, when we sit down with somebody and so forth, and my prayer is always, "Lord," I try to always pray this, "Lord, may you just remove anything that's from me. Whatever I said that's not from you, I pray, just remove it from their ears and from their minds, that only what you spoke is heard." Because there are times that things look right. We can say, yeah, you know, that's right there. And it looks good. And maybe we haven't prayed about it. Maybe we haven't consulted God on it. So it's good. It's good to consult God, especially when you give him biblical counsel. And by the way, on the other side of that, when we receive biblical counsel, we also want to pray for God's wisdom in it. So thank you, Lord. And just take it with you. And, you know, the Lord confirms those things. He may have confirmed it before. It may, you know, he may have laid it on your heart. Now he's confirming it through that person you're speaking with. And then afterwards, he may confirm it again. But God has a way of getting across what he wants to get across to us. Nevertheless, Nathan, it was nothing malicious. Neither one of them was nothing malicious. It was all good. And they said, yeah, this is a great idea. But take a look at what happens in verse 4. He says, but it happened that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build a house for me to dwell in? For I have not dwelt in a house since the time that I brought the children of Israel up from Egypt, even this day, but have moved about in a tent, in a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about with all the children of Israel, I like that. He was moving with his people. He wasn't stationary because he was moving with his people. His presence was with them. And he says, have I ever spoken a word to anyone from the tribes of Israel whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? God is letting a little rebuke to Nathan, right? Nathan, I've never said that. I've never asked for that. Now therefore, thus shall you say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts. This is the message he used to take to David. I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I have been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and have made you a great name, like the name of the great men who are on the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them anymore, as previously, since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused you to rest from all your enemies. I love that. You know, how God starts this out, how he says, man, David, I've taken care of you. Listen, I have been with you. And he tells David no. And as we go through here, right, there's more in here that when we read Chronicles, we get a fuller picture. And later on, also in Chronicles 28, David recalls this time in his life, and he gives us even more information of what happened here. But I love the fact that God takes his time here, and he says, David, man, I've been with you. I love you. I've cared for you. I cut off all your enemies. I made a great name for you. And I'm going to take care of my people. Look, I've done all these things. And he's going to say, but no. And now, listen, God doesn't owe us an explanation. He's God. Why should he give us an explanation? He doesn't have to. But I love it the way that he just stops here and tells them. And explains this to him. And I would say, I would refer you to 1 Chronicles 17 for you to go and read that on your own and just get a little bit fuller understanding of this. But notice what happens next. Notice what he says. Also, as the Lord tells you that he will make, this is still continuing on in the conversation. Nathan says, also the Lord tells you that he will make you a house. Wow. He's going to make him a house. He's going to make you. And I like the wording here. He doesn't say, I'm going to build you a house. David said, I'm going to build you a house. He's going to make you a house. And once again, we get the fuller in 1 Chronicles. And here, as we read the rest, we get a little bit more of understanding that this is not just a house, right? He's going to build them a royal dynasty, an everlasting kingship. And it's amazing, and he continues on. He says, when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers. And notice here, this is God's word, okay? We pay attention that he says, there's an appointed time for you, David. And when that time is done, and when you rest with your fathers, in other words, when you die, he says, I will set up your seed after you, Solomon, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. In other words, David, you can't build me a house, but your son is the one who's going to do that. It's going to be somebody else. I will be his father, notice, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of man and with the blows of the sons of man. But my mercy, notice this, my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. Notice the forever, the forever, the forever. God is giving him a promise. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so Nathan spoke to David. Once again, how do we react when we, like David, want to bless the Lord and his people? And maybe we say, Lord, this is what I want to do. Look, I've struggled with this, certain areas. You know, I have all these plans and this vision in my head of what I see, the church, the ministries, and so forth. And I believe that a lot of that is of the Lord. And I believe that the Lord is going to bring these things to pass. But I also want to keep in mind that he's the one that's going to do it, and I can't force it. And I always want to keep that in mind, that I don't want to force a ministry. I never want to say, okay, we got to stick this, we got to get it going, we got to do this, because it's going to come to nothing, and then it's man's effort, and it takes man's effort to keep it going. But when the Spirit of God does it, man, it happens so beautifully. He puts it in the heart of individuals, and it just goes and it goes, because it's God doing it. But sometimes there's certain things that God says no, or maybe not yet. And you know, and if we kick against the Lord's will, if we're just like, no, I just want to do this, and we get the wrong attitude, well, you can't do this. Well, fine, I'm not going to do anything. Or I'm just going to do the bare minimum. That's not good. That's not good. We want to serve the Lord with all our heart, wherever it is that he has us. It doesn't matter what it is. Just by way of reminder, I know you guys know this, but it's his kingdom. It's not our kingdom. He's the king. We're not the king. His will be done, not my will be done. And when we keep that in perspective, it's like, okay, yes, Lord, forgive me. You know, and it's, we have to have the right attitude. We have to understand. We have to respond appropriately, because here's the thing is, sometimes when God says no, man, he has such better plans. And here's the thing too, that he sees our hearts. He sees the intent of our heart, our desires, where we are. And we're like, man, Lord, I just want to bless you and so forth. And you know what he does? We can never outdo God. Ever. We want to do something for God. He does something greater for us. And it's amazing. Look at how David reacts and notice what happens. He says, then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, who am I, O Lord God? Picture that in your mind. David goes in and he sits down. It's like, just like coming into church, and let's imagine nobody's here, and you come and sit down and you're just blown away. And it's like, Lord, I'm trying to understand, I'm trying to absorb all this, what you're doing, what you just said. You know, David is trying to really just take all this in. He's like, man, I wanted to do this, and he understands what God has just told him. This is an amazing promise, and he sits before the Lord, and he says, look at his humility. He says, who am I, O Lord God? Who am I that you would do this for? And then he says, and what is my house that you have brought me this far? And yet this was a small thing in your sight, O Lord God. And you have also spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come. Is this the manner of men, O Lord God? Now, what more can David say to you? For you, Lord God, know your servant. Can you see this? Can you just imagine this? David is just like, just blown away. And he's like, how? I can't believe you just said this. You're going to establish a kingdom, a royal dynasty forever? You've spoken of this. And he's in awe. I mean, he is just in awe of God's grace and his love. And he knew, David knew who he was, where he came from. He says, who's my family? I don't come from anything important, anything. I was out in the field. I was a nobody. And he has a true perspective of who he is. He knows he's not worthy. And he says, man, what can I say, Lord? What more can your servant say? Have you ever gotten to that place that you are just so grateful to the Lord? You know, maybe it is that he just took you out of something, and he just blessed. Maybe you should have gone to jail. Maybe you should have gotten in trouble. Maybe it would have been like, just ugly situation. He picks you up, and he just blesses you. He does completely the opposite, right? His grace, unmerited favor. He just, and you're like, man, Lord. And you're just like, Lord, what can I say? You know, it's like the highest praise. You get to this point in your worship of God that you're sort of speechless. You're like, I don't know what to say, Lord. Just thank you. I'm just like, I can't say anything. And David says, what more can David, he speaks in the third person of himself, he says, what more can David say to you? For you, Lord, know your servant. Amazing. David's humility, it's incredible. And you know, we read it all over the Psalms, right? You guys read the Psalms. We go and we see, man, he is just praising the Lord. And we see it all over. And in Psalms 144:3, he says, Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him? Or the son of man that you're mindful of him? He's like, why? Why would you just pour out this goodness upon my life? Have you guys experienced this, God's goodness? You know, one of the things that God is just, once again, it's just lately, sometimes we can look at all the bad things. And here's the thing, is that when we look at our family, when we look at our immediate circle, when we look at our church, sometimes we're like, man, God is just blessing us. He's keeping, maybe these things happen and so forth, but his hand is upon us. He's protecting us. He's keeping us. He's guarding us. He is the one that's carrying us through things. And we're looking at all the outside, some of those things that even affect us. And we're getting angry about all these other things. And it's like God is just like right there in our presence. And we're failing to give God glory. And really being in this place of just worship and saying, Lord, I'm just speechless. Who am I that you're mindful of me, that you would even look upon me? So as David is basking in God's favor here and his grace, he's speechless. And it just blows him away. And he says, for you, Lord, know your servant. And, you know, Psalms 139 says, you know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. David writes that as well. He says, you know me. You know me so well. Lord, how could you do this? You know my thoughts. You know my heart. You know, Lord, you said not to multiply wives, and I multiply wives. Lord, I'm a sinful man. Lord, I've done things, and Lord, I don't always listen to you. You know that. You know everything about, you know your servant, and yet you love me, and yet you pour out your grace upon me and your blessings upon me. Take a look at verse 21, how David, he gives God the glory. He says, for your word's sake, in other words, you didn't do it for me. He says, for your word's sake, for your word's sake, and according to your own heart, you have done all these great things to make your servant know them. It's because you did it because of your heart, because of who you are, your own heart, not because I deserve it, but it was according to your heart, Lord. David gives God all the glory. He doesn't say, man, I'm pretty awesome here. You know what? You remember Goliath? Yeah. That was pretty cool, huh, God? I belong here. He didn't say that. He knew that was of God as well. He knew that God had given them that victory. He knew his situation. So he continues with the praise. He says, therefore, you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, nor is there any God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And who is like your people, like Israel, the one nation on the earth whom God went to redeem for himself as a people, to make for himself a name, and to do for yourself great and awesome deeds for your land, before your people whom you redeemed. For yourself from Egypt, the nations and their gods. For you have made your people Israel your very own people forever. And you, Lord, have become their God. Amazing. He can't help but praise the Lord. And he continues, now, O Lord God, the word which you have spoken. Notice, there's no doubt. There's no, well, maybe it's going to happen. I'm not sure, and so forth. He has a history with God. God said, you're going to be king. By the way, by way of reminder, God gave him a promise when he was a teenager. When he was a teenager, God gave him a promise. It wasn't until he was 30 years old that this promise came to pass. So often we want things right now. This is what's going to happen right now. Or God tells you something, it's like, okay. Well, it was this morning. What happened? It's been a whole week, God. It's been months. It's been years. Listen, it's God's timing, perfect timing. His promise are yes and amen, and he'll bring them to pass. It's his timing. And David had recognized this, that his word would come to pass. And when he receives this, he believes it. There's no doubt. He says, now, O Lord, the words which you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, establish it forever and do as you have said. So let your name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God over Israel. Let the house of your servant David be established before you. For you, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, have revealed this to your servant, saying, notice that he says, you showed me this. What's to come? I will build you a house. Therefore, your servant has found it in his heart to pray this prayer. The author of Hebrews writes in Hebrews 13:15, he says, therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And that's exactly what David's doing here. He's just praising the Lord, and he's just saying factual things of who God is. You know, it is a good thing to remember who God is. We forget his greatness, his awesomeness, his goodness. It's a good place to be in. And it changes our attitude. It changes the whole day. So David continues, and now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are true. In other words, man, you can bank on it. There's nothing else in the world that you can bank on, but in God's word, it will never change. And you have promised his goodness to your servant. Now, therefore, let it please you to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue before you forever. For you, O Lord God, have spoken it, and with your blessing, let the house of your servant be blessed forever. That's the attitude that we should have. God said it. End of story. I mean, that's it. There's really, what are we going to do, argue? But there's an exception, Lord. Now, I know you have an exception for me. Listen, God's word is true. He spoke it. He spoke the universe into existence. He spoke everything into existence. And when he speaks his word, it's going to come into existence. It's going to come to pass. It will happen. We shouldn't argue with it. We shouldn't doubt it. We shouldn't try to reason or do this, or sometimes we try to reason with God, right? We say, but Lord, I want this. But God may be saying, maybe go over here. And you're like, no, I, this is my plan right here. Lord, bless my plan here. And God says, I have something better for you over here. I'm going to share a story with you. Earlier today when I was doing my study, I was out in Starbucks, and I just sort of, it's sort of funny how I go to a coffee shop and then you start getting to know people there, so then you have to move again. And you start all over again. It's pretty cool because you get to minister to people and again. But I was at Starbucks, and it's been pretty fruitful ministry there. But today, it was so special. You know, I order my cup of coffee, and I go sit down and back against the wall, and I'm just typing away, and I'm just going through this portion of Scripture, this, chapter 7, and this couple comes in, and they come, and they sit down, like, two seats over against the wall here, and I'm just typing away, and reading, and nothing, and then, but, like, with my corner, I'm just looking up, right, thinking, and just sort of praying into my mind, and I see with the corner of my eye that this guy is just staring at me, so I turned around and looked at him, and it's like, okay, sort of looked away, and it's, looked down, and then I'm like, Lord, and my attitude always is that, Lord, if you want me, usually this is my prayer, Lord, if you want me to share the gospel with this people, if you want me to reach out to these people, will you just create an open door? Would you have them talk to me, or something like that? Truth be told, I always ask that the other person would be the initiator, because it's easier for me to then respond, right? And either way, it's the Lord is gracious, and God was so clear this time. When I said, well, it was like no. Like, talk to him. So I was like, I turned around, because they were speaking in Russian. And I turned around and I said, I'm assuming it's Russian. I don't speak Russian. I mean, it sounded like TV shows and speaking Russian. I don't know. So I said, you guys Russians? And they're like, they were like sort of like, right now with things going on, right? And the young lady says, well, I'm from Ukraine. And the guy says, I'm from Moldova. And he says, well, no, I'm from Ukraine. He goes, you need to talk to us. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And he goes, you have your Bible there. He says, you're reading your Bible. And it's broken English. And I said, yeah, you guys read your Bible? Do you know Jesus? And they're like, yeah. He says, but no, you need to talk to me, he says. He says, I was praying before I got here. He says, all these things happen in my life. And, I'm just broken in the way that he's speaking to me. He says, and I came in here and I prayed. And I sat down and I saw you bring out your Bible. And he says, and I was praying that God would speak to me. Lord, speak to me. And I saw you and he said, you're going to speak to me. And I was like, whoa, no pressure. So I said, have you received Jesus as Lord and Savior? Because he says that you're going to tell me what to do, he said. And I'm like, whoa, okay, I don't know, And so the first thing that came to mind is, do you know Jesus? Because, yeah, let me tell you how to know Jesus, right? He goes, no, I know Jesus, he says. But he says, I know a lot here for years. I grew up in a home. He says, but lately it's like obeying. He says, it's been hard obeying, and it's just hard. And he couldn't try to get across, but he was saying is that he felt like what he knew was not happening, in his life. And that it's like, he says, I was here, and now I'm here, he says, And, as he's sharing a little bit, that they lived here, they went to Ukraine for a while, the war happened, they were leaving, they stayed there a month, and were helping people out at the border, and then they came back. And now they were in a dire situation, all these different things. I won't go into all those details, but he's sharing with me. And, but during that period of time, as he's sharing, because he asked, he says, what are you reading? What are you, you're Christian? And I said, yeah, actually, I'm a pastor. And he says, and I said, well, let me share with you what I'm reading. So I was like, it's an awesome portion of scripture. You may remember it. And I just started going down the line. I said, listen, this is so cool. I said, David wanted to do something for God. But God didn't want him to do that for him. He said, that's not what God wanted. I said, God said, you want to do something for me? I'm going to do something better for you. I'm going to bless you. He goes, tell me more. That's me. Tell me more. You know, it's like, that's me. And it was so funny. He goes, right now, he goes, I'm doing my best impression that I can here. But he says, I like that man in, he says, that came from Ethiopia, you know, that he was reading his Bible. And I'm like, huh, funny, huh? We just went over the scripture on Sunday. And he says, that other man, he asked that other man, hey, explain to me. And I said, Philip? He goes, yes, yes. So let me summarize it for you. I share the scripture for him. It fit right into his life where he was at, right where he was at. And it was such a divine appointment where he and his wife were right there, and they were just like, ah. And then he got a call, and he had to go, and he comes back. He goes, don't go nowhere. He comes back, and again, and then his wife is right here, and she goes, and she starts asking me questions, right? And I take her to scripture, and I take her to Proverbs, and, you know, and then I said, listen, I got to go. I've been trying to do my study. I said, I'd like to pray for you guys. And I said, but it looks like he's on a phone call. And he says, no, wait. She says, don't go. So she goes to her husband. And he says, he wants you, if he can wait 5 minutes, he wants to talk to you. So I said, sure, I can wait for him. So he comes back, and then it opens up the conversation again. You know, and I shared a little bit of my testimony with him. And here's the thing, is I didn't know what's going on in his life. And he's like, everything you're saying is my life. He says, right now. He says, God has put you here. He goes, I don't know. He says, you may be an angel. I'll never see you again. He goes, God, I'm like, no, I'm no angel. He says, but God does work that way. I said, you know, God does work that way. And he's, thank you so much. He says, I know now that God wanted me to go here. And I've been saying, no, I want to be here. And that he wants to bless me. But he was down and he was having battles with his faith and her, and their, you know, and it was such a, I can't tell you what it did for me. You know, and seeing them, the conversation, it was like night and day. And they were so encouraged. He says, how can I talk to you again? You know, it's like one of those questions, like when he says, can you tell me what you're reading? I'm like, oh, it's called an open door. Like, yeah, absolutely, you know? And so I gave him my card, and he says, can I call you? I said, yeah, man. I said, you know, you call me anytime. I said, you need prayer, you know, whatever you need, just give me a call. And they couldn't thank me enough, you know, and it has nothing to do with me, right? We know that. It's divine appointments that God puts people there, and that a person that will be obedient to the Lord that says, hey, talk to them. God does the rest. He really does. Do you guys believe that? Have you guys experienced that? He does that, and he moves in such a powerful way. If I went down the line with all the things, man, they were just like, this is exactly it. This is exactly it. And he says, it is God that put you here, you know. And it was such an amazing thing. Anyway, I say that because all this fits right in here, you know, that sometimes, you know, God says no in our life, just like that couple that I was speaking to, and maybe good things. And we need to be okay with no's. God has something better for us, other plans. You know, he wants to do whatever it is, you know, and it's going to be good. It's going to be better than good. It's going to be great, you know. And in 1 Chronicles 28, before David dies, it gets to that point where he's going to transition over the kingdom to his son Solomon. He recalls this portion of scripture, And in it, he fills in a little bit more, and he says to them, as he's recalling what God said, and he's quoting, he says, "You shall not build me a house." And God said this to him, "You shall not build me a house for my name, because you have been a man of war and have shed blood." He says, "You're a man of war, David. There's a difference. There's something here. I'm blessing you in this way, but you can't do this in this way." And then a little further down in verse 9, he says, "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father." Isn't that every father's desire for our children? Saying, "Man, you know the God of your father. You know, come to know Jesus in such a profound and just incredible way. Walk with God." Listen, the scripture says, "Hey, what is the profit of man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul?" There is nothing greater that we can impart in our children than that relationship with God. We can't make them love God. We can't make them just have this relationship, but we can model it for them. We can encourage them and obey God's word, and then we see the fruit of that. You know what? We're going to reap what we sow. And these kids, as we pour into them, we love them, we show them the love of God, and we present that to them, man, there's nothing greater. You know, it's great if a child wants, I was thinking back of, I won't share this, but there's some that may choose a certain career path and they forget about God, you know, because they were never really cemented maybe in their high school years and during that time. And then they forget about God. They just go away, and they're very successful. And listen, I have nothing. There's nothing. I'm all for successful in whatever career, because we need godly doctors. We need godly, you know, whatever, lawyers, whatever. We need godly police officers. We do. But godly is the key. We need to have God first in our life. And when we have God first in our life, He will direct our path. And there will be a difference. Not just here, there'll be a difference in eternity. God will use you for a difference that will affect eternity. And that's what we want for our kids. So anyway, so he continues and he says, "Know the God of your father and serve Him with a loyal heart and with willing mind." Notice that, a willing mind. Not because you have to, not grudgingly. But willingly. "For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all intent of the thoughts. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will cast you off forever," He tells his son Solomon. This is his final advice to him. And then he says, "Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." Then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the vestibule, its houses, its treasuries, its upper chambers, its inner chambers, and the places of the mercy seat, and the plans for all that he had by the Spirit. God had revealed this to David. Listen, David says, "I can't build your house. Fine, I'm not doing that. I'm going to go and do this. No. David said, "I can't build you a house. I'm going to do the next best thing. I'm going to prepare everything for the man that you have chosen to build that house. So it's going to be all prepared." And that man was his son Solomon. He says, "I'm going to do everything, Lord, because it's your kingdom and it's him." Yes, it's true. I'm a man of war. I have blood on my hands. And I'm not mad over you not wanting me to use me that way. It's okay. You know, God blessed him in such an incredible way that he hadn't even imagined. And, you know, God sometimes tells us no. He says no. You can't. I'm reminded of a story here, you know, that Pastor Chuck said in one of his sermons. It's just years ago. It just came to mind that there was this this woman. She was of Chinese origin, and she wanted to be a nurse, but the reason why she wanted to be a nurse was because she wanted to go back to China and be a missionary. That was her heart. Her heart's desire. She worked so hard and she did everything and so forth. And she got her degree, and then she couldn't go because she had a medical issue. There's no way she could go. And it said that she was disappointed for a bit. And then she says, okay, that's okay. I'm going to support whoever it is that God sends. And what she did was she worked hard in the field that she was in and became, she was an executive in the hospital and so forth. And she supported so many missionaries in China doing God's work. If she would have gone over there, she would have been one person. One person. But because she said, Lord, okay, you won't have me do that. She didn't pout. She didn't moan. She didn't groan. She didn't say, oh, I can't. She says, your plan is greater. God blessed her there at that workplace and says, I'm going to do something greater. But not the way you think, the way I say. And he blessed her financially and in position and so forth. And in turn, she could support many, many missionaries in China. So God sometimes says no. Are you okay with that? Am I okay with that? Well, you know, I always think I'm going to be able to do a couple of chapters or three chapters. I really do. I have it all laid out. In fact, I want to do three chapters today. But just a little preview. Next chapter. After such an incredible encouragement and God's promises again to establish his kingdom forever, David, what does he do? He takes the fight to the enemy. With all the confidence of the Lord. And when we read next chapter, all we're going to see is that David defeated this, you know, and you go on the Philistines and Moab, the king of Moab and so forth, and this group of people and so forth and so on and so on. You know, he goes in there, man, and he wreaks havoc on his enemies, the enemies of God's people. Why? Because God told him, I'm going to establish your kingdom forever. And when you're old, when your time has come, David says, I'm untouchable until God says, he's put me here to do this, and I'm going to do it because God has an appointed time for me. And he goes in the confidence of the Lord, and he's successful. You know, Saul, after God removed his hand from him, he never won a battle. Ever. But God's hand was on David. And all you see is triumph after triumph after triumph after triumph, battle after battle that he wins. In the name of the Lord, the confidence of the Lord, and the power of the Lord. It's amazing. So how about if we leave it there? I mean, it's only going to take us another half hour for the other one. No. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that sometimes, Lord, but what do we say? I feel like David, Lord, that you're just like so good. It's, who are we that you would be mindful of us, that you bless us in such a way, you rescue us, Lord. Lord, help us. Help us be those people that you've called to serve you. Help us be godly men and women that serve you in wherever capacity you call us to. Just love you. We just praise you. In your name, Jesus. Amen.